Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Yo, yo, yo. What's poppin', man? We was back here getting our little groove. I gotta put some words to that. But listen, y'all. We do own the rights to that music.
Hey. But yes. Listen, today we are so excited. We have a special guest. But first of all, I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And this is Real Talk, Shift Real Talk Tuesdays, okay?
Yes.
So thank you for tuning in to Shift Real Talk TV. This is a network where we talk about love, life, relationships, and we give you the truth about it all with the, through the Word of God, okay?
Yes, we do.
So today we have a hot, hot sizzler for you, and we are going to have a special guest coming in.
I got my boy. Like, okay, I'm really happy. This, let me introduce my boy.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my boy. Like for real, my boy, 50 Grand. We grew up in Brooklyn together. You know, we actually started playing for a community choir. And when he come on, I'm going to tell a little bit about it, man. But he got his own podcast coming out. I mean, it's out. I mean, he does his own podcast, and he deals with the internal self. And man, listen, I'm proud of what he's doing. I'm like a big brother to him, and he's like a little brother to me. And listen, y'all, without any further ado, I'm going to bring in my boy, Pastor.
Hey,
Donald Francis.
Yeah.
What's going on, y'all? Hey.
What's going on? Listen, he was so excited.
I got my boy, my little brother.
He was so excited to bring you in that he didn't even
say your name. Wait.
He didn't say the hot topic.
I forgot about the topic because I'm so excited, man. You know that we got you on finally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You doing your thing, man. You got a podcast out as well. And man, and we finally shifted and we're coming together. Shift and manifested thoughts is together on tonight.
Okay, introduce yourself to the people. Let them know who you are, what you have going on.
Hey, everybody. I'm Donald Francis. First of all, I love God. That's all I want you to know.
Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah.
I am a father. I'm a husband of one wife, only one wife.
Hey.
Come on.
113, 116. Been pastoring the church for about almost 17 years now. I have a podcast called Manifesting Thoughts Podcast. And before that, I had a podcast called It's Life Podcast. And I've been on social media for about over 12 years. My son just reminded me of that today. I was like, whoa, I didn't even know about all that, you know?
Okay.
And been chilling with my bro, Jesse, and my sister, Lady Free. You know, I had the privilege of also getting them on our platform before we came here by way of New York to Houston, and been in ministry for a long time. Jesse and I, we've been in music together. He taught me so much about organ and stuff like that, and different groups that I should listen to open up my ears and stuff like that. And like he said, we've had a wonderful run with the community choir era. And he taught songs like Singing Glory, you know what I'm saying, and other songs that I'll tell you about later on. But I mean, we had a wonderful, wonderful time, you know, back then. And we're still here strong, going on for God and doing the thing.
Yes.
All right.
Man,
so
you reminded me, man. Wow.
Yes, yeah, sir. Man,
we had a great, but you know what, man? And this is why I really brung you on. Because of this topic, man. The topic today is kingdom versus culture.
Kingdom versus culture.
And it's important, man. This and coming from the era that we came in, man, you know what I'm saying? It was real. It was real. Yeah. You know, even though we were young, but there was a standard that still that had the, you know what I'm saying? Actually, the standard that was held when we were coming up, I mean, it really kept us from going way over the fence, you know what I'm saying? So we could have, trust me, Pastor, we could have went way over the fence, man. But man, so Yes, hey, you want to say something, babe?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to shout out to everyone who's watching right now. I see Kim Scott on the line, my homegirl. If you're watching, just put your name in the chat so we can give you a real shout out. Thank you again, like I said, for joining us here at Shift Real Talk TV. I just want to, culture, kingdom versus culture. I mean, I know that you guys grew up together, and really, I'm going to let you have a conversation. I'm going to chime in every now and again and let the spirit move me. So, what does that mean to you, kingdom versus culture?
Wow. I'm going to tell you something. That's such a broad question when it comes down to kingdom versus culture, because obviously we do have our kind of culture. I've been teaching, just how to shape our culture on our podcast and to our community about just self-discipline because of all of what we need. The kind of people that I talk to are the people, first of all, take note, I used to be. Yeah. I can't tell you about nobody else. You get what I'm saying? But what it is that I've learned about culture is that there's so many different cultures out there. But if you want to talk about the African-American culture, now we're speaking something more specific, because I realize that not only is it African-American culture and we have different ethnicity culture, but there's also kingdom culture
that I've learned.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you must understand that culture, when you look at our culture as a race or as human beings, it simply means that it is a learned behavior and or it is a shared belief, that's passed down from generation to generation to generation, And we oftentimes talk about generational curse. I was talking to my brother and I was just telling him, I said, they oftentimes say that the church need to break some traditions, but the world today need to break some traditions because there are a lot of things that are so far left, But when you take a look at kingdom culture, just to make it clear, first of all, culture, according to human race, without even religiosity, it's just a generational thing that has been learned. Our learned behavior, our environment that we've grown up in, we've learned that, listen, rather you had the drunk uncle, you had the sick cousin, whatever the case may be, we've learned, me living in the projects, and first of all, let me just say that, I've grown up in a Redick projects for almost all my life, and out there, we've learned how to be faithful to some degree, right? Which is that, listen, if we ask all of the family to come together, we know we got that one drunk uncle that's going to mess up the whole party. But out of
or make it fun.
You see this? But out of loyalty, we still invite them, don't talk to them, or the cousins that are not speaking together, and then all of a sudden Thanksgiving dinner becomes a Royal Rumble. You see?
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of that is because of learned behavior. But when you talk about kingdom culture, right? And again, I know we said kingdom versus culture, but there's a kingdom culture, and that is simply to obey the Lord. Everything that is written in the Bible, we believe, And I'm going to tell you something, lady friend. I'm going to tell you something, Pastor Jay. I don't believe in denomination because I believe it's divisuration. You see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, if you speak in tongue and I don't mean I'm not going, I'm going to hell. If you're a worshiper and I dance, don't mean, you know why? Because we believe in the whole Bible. Now, I'm not here, to argue religiosity or anything like that or try to show up anybody else who are in denomination. Because here's the deal. We're here to bring everybody together. We're not here to spread nobody apart. To tell you, listen, my gift, according to our culture, that's matched with obedience to God, we have a mighty hand that we can show the devil and say, listen, ain't nobody divide none of us because we're a beautiful people no matter what the culture is.
Yeah. Come on.
I believe, Pastor, and that's so you said some key points. I also believe culture and versus kingdom is actually not just a culture, but what we seek. A lot of us seek happiness in material things. That's culture. But kingdom is when you seek happiness within.
Come on.
Yes.
That's kingdom.
That's kingdom.
Because a lot of us, a lot of us have been taught, to really seek things that make us happy, situations that happen, we got to do things to make us happy. And we don't realize that a lot of times when trouble or struggle comes, it's really because you're being taught how to adjust. Now, again, now one thing I heard earlier, it was like, if you are sitting in the desert and the sun shines all day, you're in a desert. And the sun is, so our lifestyle or our life should not be geared toward looking for a desert. because there has to be some changes in the sun for us to really be able to exist or search for now what we need to become and what we become to help other people come out. So seasons are designed to help deter some of that sun. You know what I'm saying? So there has to be a change. And what happens is culture, we get formatted into what we see people do. Okay, so, well, the thing is, well, I've seen this person exist in this situation, so this may work for me. Or I see this person exist in this situation, or it may work for me. Or I look on social media and see how people exist in certain situations, and we feel that because they how they existed, it may work for us, but we don't understand. Culture says that, but kingdom says, he said, I come that you may have life, and you may have life more abundantly. So if we really seek toward the kingdom, then we won't. Then we will seek to really be changed or really be shaped within, from within, because that's where happiness comes from.
Right. You know what? When I think about it. Okay, go ahead. No, it comes from.
No. You go ahead, Lady Free.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm only going to chime in here and there. But when I thought about when you guys were talking, it's like, all I think about is in my daddy's house, in the kingdom, we do things like this. outside, they do things like that. So it's almost like, you know, when we was growing up, our parents be like, I don't care what your friend's doing. I'm not they mama. In my house, this is what we do. So when I was thinking about like what you guys were saying, in the kingdom, there should be a standard of what we do. And it should be all across the board. Like, this is in my daddy's house. This is what we do. Now, mind you, everybody's welcome to come over. You can come over to the house. My daddy loves having people and company. But when you come in, you have to know that this is how we do in our house. So when I think of kingdom versus culture, I look at everything that's going on around us in the culture, in outside. And then I think about what our daddy says that his children are supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah.
But why are we so afraid to do it? Well, that's my question. Why are we so scared?
Wow. Lady Free, I'm going to tell you, and because y'all dropping some great, great nuggets, just like my brother over here, which was, you know, was saying that, you know, real kingdom comes from within, right? You know, and I was asking myself, and I've also, you know, oftentimes asked the church, you know, what is your why? You know?
Come on.
Because here's the deal. You know, we've been taught, and I've been taught, now this is something that's outside, but, and when I say outside, it's outside of the conversation, but it really, really make a lot of sense. And that is, they oftentimes say that, you know, when you are trying to pursue something great, you know, and you got people, so for example, thank you, Holy Ghost, my big brother, right, Jesse, who I feel is one of the dopest organ players out there. Shift, real talk, he's a dope organ. You know, I mean, and not only is he a great preacher along with this wonderful, beautiful lady, you know, but this guy, I mean, really, he make the organ sing and he makes it say something that touch my heart, melodies that I can't speak with words. Oh, so here's the deal. Wow. But I do know if I was a youngster, you know, just coming up and trying to learn how to play the basics and stuff like that, they always taught that in entrepreneurship, you know, that professionals, they steal, while people who are unprofessional and or amateurs, they borrow. So if I wanted to become just as good as my brother, I'm not stealing anything that he has, but I'm emulating a lot of what he's done to make it my own until I can walk into my destiny and concern it. So when you talk about, you know, anything that have to do with kingdom building, which is within, the first thing you have to understand is, what is your why about the kingdom that will cause you to say yes? You have to leave something to come to God for something, right? And you have to acknowledge there's a thing we call an effective apology.
Wow.
And the question becomes, what is an effective apology? You ever seen somebody who ever did you wrong? And then they're like, listen, if I did something wrong to you, I apologize. Yeah. That's not effective, champion.
Come on.
Yeah. Yes.
Let me tell you what's effective. I'm apologizing to you, Lady Free, and I'm just using this as an example, an illustration, and I'm acknowledging what I'm apologizing for. That's an effective apology. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, if I'm somebody who's searching for kingdom, right?
Yes.
And if I, that means if I'm searching for kingdom, I'm about to learn a God or about a God I've never heard about. Because once this culture says, I do what I want and I do what I like and how I want to do it.
Yeah.
And I change the game according to our culture.
Come on. I do it my
way. But kingdom says, if I'm going to search for a God and I'm looking, and although this is not scripture, but Shakespeare said it best, to thy own self be true.
You see to thy own self. Hey!
Apology and say, God, this is the reason I'm coming to you. So I can acknowledge to you and make known the reason I'm apologizing and why I need you. Again, here we go. What is your why?
Yeah.
Because if you don't know your why, you're never going to get into your what.
Oh, come on with the whys and the what.
We just want to take a little, there's a Dave Q was on, my boy. My niece is on, Mind Provoking, love you. Tanisha Wells, she said that's a great way to explain it.
Exactly.
My dad is on the line, God bless
Bob
you.
Jesse. Paps.
So we just kind of wanted
we
to.
We got D. Ellis on the line. Y'all listen, we talking kingdom versus culture.
So, I want to ask you a question, Pastor. So as a, that was a great
If you don't know
nugget.
Your why, you will not be able to get to your what.
To your what. And a lot of times we miss that even in the church. And I, like I said, I don't want to make it like I'm beating up the church.
Right.
But culture has creeped into the church and we forgot about, our why.
Uh-oh.
Because we are bringing a whole lot of culture in. Prime example. The altar. Now, when I grew up, there was an altar inside of the church.
You had
to come, and we sat and we tarried all night long until something happened.
Until something broke.
But now the altar has been culture has taken the altar out and removed that, and now it's a stage.
Replaced it with a stage.
What is your take on the stage now,
Kingdom
Pastor?
Kingdom versus culture. Come on.
Yeah. Well, simply because we're doing shows. why else would you need a stage? Well, I need a stage if I'm doing a show, you see.
Right.
Let me tell you something. I came up in the era, and I came up under the Calvary Baptist Church, and my mom used to teach me all the time. First of all, she used to always have me dressed in a suit. I was always taught
you wear
a shirt, you wear a tie, you wear a suit when you come into the house of God. If you're going to go to a job interview, you're going to look your best or go to somebody's party or whatever, you come into the house of God with a suit to acknowledge him. Now, we do know. Don't get it twisted. I know some of y'all deep folk are like, yeah, but it's not in the clothes. That's what culture have done. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
Yes.
Because again, there is a particular standard that we ought to have. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
That will help us to know that we are to be distinguished. That's why the Bible says, be set apart. There are two parts of be set apart. Let me tell you something. First, you're set apart for your own relationship with God. Because, see, you can't hang around people you used to smoke with and drink with and this, that, and the other when you just got delivered.
Yes.
It's easy. You're going to fall back.
Come on.
You gotta separate yourself from among them. Watch this. If you are seeking kingdom, you're seeking something with, and that means if I'm seeking kingdom, I made sure I walked into the effective apology. That means that I am acknowledging I'm wrong, God. And you have all the answers.
Yes.
And now I confess with my mouth, believe with my heart, receive God with all my might. You know, because because as I emptied out, he came in. Something else happened. When I thought that culture told me I couldn't live without Shorty, for some reason, the thrill and the sensation was over when I met him and he took over my heart. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
Because it's within.
I come to the church. I never knew anything about wearing jeans and sneakers until I've entered into the community choir era. Now, I'm not talking down the community choir, so please don't beat me up. But all I do know is I remember the Friday night specials. That was my first time exposed to any of it. Being a part of a community choir, still learning how to play and this and the other. But then I'm like, wow, this person's wearing jeans. This person's wearing sneakers. You know, wow. You know what I'm saying? Everybody looking nice. And, you know, and of course we have dress down services and stuff like that. But I was the only person really technically in a suit the first time we went out. Then the second time, I was like, no, be comfortable. It's Saturday. Wear your jeans. Yo, I was trembling in fear because it wasn't taught that way to me. I wasn't exposed to anything like that according to culture. You see? because my mom always had me kingdom-minded and to respect God and had that kind of fear in me. After a while, I became comfortable with the culture enough. And then now here's the deal. I remember Lady Free, and I'm not going to take up all the time, but I remember the time that when we were around the community choir era and, you know, people started to do shows because we had more stages, we had more people, you know, dressing. Because, see, you feel different when you're in certain clothes. If I'm in a suit, I know I'm coming for business, I'm coming to worship, or whatever. But if I'm in my sneakers and my jeans, I'm coming relaxed, and that's how my spirit's going to be. And then my spirit is open to find anything else that's like mine. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes you wear certain clothes, not because of the fact that, oh, we don't want you to be cool or have swag, but it's to hold you and close you tight. Let me tell you something about the clothes. I've learned that collar, right? That collar back in the Old Testament days, they hung people. You see, who preached the word of God? You see, certain colors, they meant specific things. You see what I'm saying? Like bishops and the pink and the magenta. You know, that was because of what took place with people who've gotten beaten in the Old Testament for preaching and proclaiming the word of God. The real garments are white priestly robes, but because they bled after beating them so much, it was because they were in deserts for so long, the blood mixed with the white came magenta. So anytime that you're wearing that type of color, you're saying, God, I'm willing to be beat for your word. See, that's the reason why we can't just wear specific things and call ourselves elders and overseers and bishops, and you don't even understand what that means. You don't know what that means for your life. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So at the end of the day, if I'm going to buy something from S&D's, and they still have S&D's, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to buy something from Vim's or going to buy something. You know, when I put those garments on, you don't know where those garments have been to make you feel a specific way to leave with somebody after a Friday night special.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Let me go here. It's your time.
All
right, we got some more. The people are chiming in. Thank you, Robin
Mama
Holmes.
Pearly, we love
Robin
you
Holmes
so much.
Is on. Allie Crane is on. What's up,
Allie?
We miss you, Allie.
Aunt Liza is on.
So I have a question on here that I want to answer. That I want us to. The question here is: what's your thought on hip hop culture in the kingdom?
That's a good one.
That's a great question.
Here's the deal. Oh, you know, you said, go ahead, Pastor.
Well, we both can answer this. Now, see, the one thing about God, especially in the kingdom, it was very influential. So it's our job to be influential. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So however your platform to be influential, because one thing God doesn't do, he doesn't force himself on anybody. He influences you. And I believe hip hop is a great way to influence the young people to understand that, hey, it's okay to use hip hop as a form of influence. You know what I'm saying? For the kingdom.
Right. I also like to piggyback off of that too. You know, of course, hip hop, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have hip hop, you know, to influence people. Like you said, God doesn't invade in your space. He convey, you know. I've been converted into him. You know, I've been converted to want to follow him and stuff like that. He don't invade and he don't do anything like that. But here's the deal. It's not so much of the words of, you know, rap or hip hop gospel, because there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a musician. I love all types of genre of music.
I listen
to all types of, you know what I'm saying? So I don't dismiss any of it, you know, but there's a problem sometimes with certain types of music, you know, because music can influence you in another way that the words are not saying. You see what I'm saying? You know, and so sometimes, you know, if you are reminded, we oftentimes say, we say this in the church, so where we don't really serve real wine during communion because we don't want to backslide nobody who just came out of alcoholism. You get what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
But when you hear specific music, and there's nothing wrong with that, I feel that different, the hip hop culture, it's nothing wrong with that. I love them. I love, you know, but we have to be very, very careful because it's a thin line that we could move a little bit too much and be reminded and be backslid, you know, slid, because the music can say something different from the words. You ever heard somebody write a song? They did not take their time. Now, and by the way, you know, we got the Shalamars, we got the Stevie Wonders, you know, we got the Michael Jacksons, we got the Cymbal Prince, and you know what I'm saying? They sung, we got the Luther Vandross, you know, a lot of them sung songs, you know, that had to do with the actual song. It wasn't this, you know, touch me, lick me, and I get, you got to wear protection just to listen to all this stuff. But it's all about, please, I hope I don't, you know, but again, it was all about a chair is just a chair, even if there's no one sitting there. It was about love. You get what I'm saying? And it stuck to that. And the music complemented, you know, the words. You feel what I'm saying? It wasn't just a bumble, bumble beat, and then we just say words to it. But meanwhile, you're reminding me of where I came from, and I feel another spirit. You feel what I'm saying?
Come on.
So we just got to be careful.
See,
the kind of level.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor
Mia. And that's the subtlety of how culture has slipped into the kingdom. Pastor Mia says, I agree. We must be careful of certain rhythms. It's not always about the lyrics. I totally agree. Now, listen, before we go any further, we have a little clip we want to play. And with this clip, it's gonna talk something on the in the vein of how you were saying when you put on that priestly robe, you're saying to God, I'm ready to like basically fight this thing out for you, Lord. So let's roll this clip and then I want you to comment on it when we come back.
We want people to be happy. There are people in our lives that we know that if we told them the truth, it might mess up the relationship. Or we know if we told them the truth, it might make them suffer a little more. But we have to be willing to fear God anyway and say, this goes against all of my sentiments. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I love God enough to love you and to tell you the truth. And so make sure that in your effort to be compassionate, you are fearing God.
What are we unpacking for the next 1 hour?
The book of Jude. It tends to be ignored. We treat it like the stepbrother that nobody likes with pimples on his face. But God gave us this book because he gave us his scriptures. It's right before the book of Revelation. Super tiny. It's only 25 verses. That might be why it's unappealing to us. We tend to lean on the Psalms for our encouragement, which is a good thing. But I think Jude has a lot to say about the things that we deal with as Christians in 2020. One of the primary things that Jude wants to deal with is contending for the faith. To contend is to fight. The faith is not, you know, the subjective experience of, oh, I have faith in Jesus. The faith being the essentials of the gospel, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, that there is a such thing as sin, that Jesus died for sin, that grace is not an excuse to sin against God, that God will return. Essential things. And Jude writes this letter to these people saying, hey, I wanted to write y'all something else, but I think that it's actually necessary to challenge you to start contending for the essentials of the faith because God's glory depends on it. But I always loved the doxology. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his glorious presence with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Amen. Amen. Right?
Amen.
But my question...
Yes.
My question was, what preceded that?
Yeah.
Why do we end there? Why would you end on praise? What is the point of the letter? And I think when you start to talk about contending for the faith, really Jude is challenging to contend with your friends, to contend with your pastors, to contend with your Bible study leaders, people of influence and prominence that might have been the seminary, but it doesn't mean that they know Jesus. Mm. And so that's the tension where you have these people that are very intelligent and very smart that I respect, that have influence, that may be teaching things that are unbiblical. And so the challenge or the discouragement can come where it says, if they can fall away from the faith, what hope do I have? And so I think Jude wants to then end it by saying, no, now to him who is able to keep you, it won't be what you know that keeps you. It'll be who you know that keeps you.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What do you think about that?
Let me tell you what I think about that. I totally agree with it 1,001%. You know, I'm going to tell you something. And it's I love the way she opened it up and she said, you know, but it is my responsibility to tell you the truth. Can I tell you something? There are a lot of pastors who are held captive in their pulpits because they don't want to tell the people of God the truth.
Wow.
Because they know that they're going to get some rebuttal because, again, culture has seeped in. And then you have a lot of people today who talk about, well, I feel the Bible says, and you're wrong all the way through when you say you feel. Because there's only one interpretation of the Bible. no matter how many times you look at it. The ultimate goal of the Bible is the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if anybody want to be saved, you come unto him all that will labor. He'll give you rest. You see what I'm saying? He'll give you rest. So at the end of the day, I think that it's just time for us to understand that it is in him that we have liberty, and not in we ourselves, our opinions, our pettiness, and anything else that we feel that can influence show business versus kingdom. You see what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, again, we're at a place right now at our church that we're only going back to the basics, and rather who like it and or not. You know, one thing I love about Jesus is he never pointed people out individually. He just said what he had to say, and whomever it's supposed to be for, those, the ones who rebuttal are the ones, you know, that are the guilty ones. Because they will come up, I don't feel that that was right. You said, I want to ask you this. And now they're questioning. I love, one thing I love about this era is that they are questioning, you know, people who are preaching, because it let me to know that at least you are interested. You know, for all of us who are pastors, and if I can, Lady Friend, Pastor Jay, you know what I'm saying? If I can just encourage all of the pastors, you know, want you to know that even though, you know, we have a lot of culture, we have to uphold the kingdom and the standard of the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, here's the other thing too. Your job is to simply love the people of God. That's your job. And preach the word of truth.
Love them is to tell them the truth.
That's it. Because here's the deal. Because if you have a motive, right? I'll never forget, I used to work at Hudson Yards as a brand. Here's the word, brand ambassador. And we were all about sales. We're all about, but more so we're about customer service. They put us, Lady Free, in the best suits. Pastor Jay, they put us in the best shoes. I mean, your boy was, I mean, he was fly, you know, fly.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I came from being a security guard. And so when I graduated and I worked for a place called Related, or a company called Related, people in the building that I graduated in said, yo, I noticed you're not wearing a security guard outfit anymore. You're wearing these nice clothes. What is that about? And because I didn't want my friends or my colleagues to feel a particular way, because I don't work with them anymore, I used to tell them, well, I'm not initiated into the family. And that's the reason why they got me wearing these clothes. Because you never, ever want to make anybody feel bad or feel a particular way. It's about humility. And watch this. I found out, and going back to the passages, I found out, because Dave always tell me I'm long-winded, so let me just get right to the point. I found out that if you love somebody, Lady Free and Pastor Jay, if you love the people that are in your congregation, no matter what they feel about you, should never change your perspective about them. Because you're only called for one thing. That's to love them, teach them, spank them through the word of God and through the jolting of the Holy Spirit, and then love them on some more. And the one that rebelled, love on that one that much more too.
Here's
the deal. And the reason why I brought it Related was because there was a discrepancy that took place in the building. And all of a sudden, people didn't like me in the PMO because of the fact that I had favor with bosses and lawyers, you know? And my boss came to me and said, Donald, I want to tell you something. I don't have no place else to put you. I can't put you no place else because every other spot's taken up, and I only plan for you to be here permanently. You know what he said to me? I need you to fix it. I need you to fix it. Now, what am I saying, Lady Free? What am I saying, Pastor Jay?
Come on.
See, we're not here as pastors and leaders to become like the congregation. I've never known anything about any pastor fighting their congregation. Well, I'm bringing this one. I'm going to tell them. Then why did God call you if you're going to become them? You got to rise above. Understand the level that you're in. Because see, this is the reason why culture is taking over the church. Because we became too emotional. And we became emotional out of perspective.
Wow.
Yeah. God never told you. Why are you fighting Sister Lula? No, love on her. I know she's difficult. You know she got a big mouth. But listen, when you know that there are people who are specific ways, shouldn't surprise you when it happened.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
We got Lisa said, Liza said, what good friend of ours, she said, it's about filling the pews and forsaking the truth. We go to straight culture and we try to diminish what the truth is to bring the people in. And we think because, okay, if we just kind of manipulate what it really is and we allow people to do what they want to do and allow them to feel the way they want to feel without giving them the truth, then we sacrifice the kingdom for the culture, and it's really just about now filling the pews. But he said, what? If I be lifted up,
come on,
I will draw all men. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, no matter what, at the end of the day, they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. So it's about giving the truth. But and I want to, you know, say I want to, because this hour goes fast. I want to talk about another another thing of kingdom and culture that bothers me. My wife and I was on an airplane. We was going to visit my sisters for Thanksgiving, and what happened was there was kids on when I. This was the crazy part. It was the same behavior was going and coming back. So we was on the airplane, right? And there was little kids on the plane. And they was, I mean, when I say they were unruly kids, one little kid kept pressing the call button. Bing, bing. That's what he kept. Bing. So the flight attendant said, well, please, the call buttons are not toys. Could you please stop your children from pressing the call buttons?
Right.
Didn't stop. Ping, ping. Ping, kept going, ping, ping. And then when the mama tried to stop them, then all of a sudden the kid was crying for the rest of the flight. Yeah! Because I guess the cry, right. The falling out, having a, falling, yeah!
Yeah! Okay, yeah! We got it.
It was like this. Could you please? And so we're about, because nowadays, what we do now is because we are our kid's friend, the one lady that was sitting in back of us said, you got kids. So I'm sure you understand the behavior of kids. And it's like, no, I don't understand the behavior of a kid. What I understand is what the word says about the, it says, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And like I was saying to you earlier, I said, if you dig deeper into that, it really says, if you love your child, you would not spare them from the discipline. So what the point, so culture has made it so that you can't even discipline your kids. So what the kids are doing, they're falling out, they're crying. And what we have done now is we have made an excuse, or culture has made a reason of why the kids act the way they do. They're acting that way because we are allowing them. We are letting them be.
And then on top of that, I hear people saying how harsh the Bible is for telling us to spare the rod, spoil the child. Anything that's spoiled is not good. Spoiled milk, spoiled food,
yes,
cheese.
Enabling
anything
parent.
That's spoiled is not good. So if the word of God says if you spare them the discipline, then you spoil them, then that can't be good. So the whole thing is in the kingdom. In my daddy's house, he says, in my house, we discipline.
Right.
He said, I even chasten those who I love. So with kingdom and culture, you now see a shift. And that shift is a shift of now children all over social media. You see them on airplanes. You see them anywhere. Very disrespectful, cussing their parents out, kicking, screaming, doing whatever they want to do. And the parents seem so helpless and hopeless. And a lot of the times it's almost if the parents look at you crazy, if you discipline your child, they'll get you, they'll get their phone and put a caption as if you're abusive.
You're abusing
when
the
thing is, no, in the kingdom, God, yes, there's a certain standard how you were talking about even the dress, but in the kingdom, a certain standard of our behavior, we are to train them up in the way they should go. So when they get old, they won't depart. So if I'm training them that they're entitled, if I'm training them that if they fall out, they can get their way. If I'm training them that they can cuss me out and disrespect me, therefore they'll do it to their teachers, their friends and all that stuff. When they get old, what is our world going to look like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we were just talking about, like right now, I have a 16-year-old going on 17. I have a 13-year-old going on 14, you know? Mm-hmm. And we know, we understand sometimes as, you know, young men, when they're teenagers and stuff like that, they get a chance to go and they hang out with their friends and stuff. And then here come the girlfriends and now you're getting braids. I notice he's putting on more cologne and stuff like that. I'm like, where are you going? What are you doing, champ? You know, and again, but you can see the change in the behavior, you know? So for me, I've learned how to talk to him, you know, to try to teach him to think, you know, because again, I know that there comes a point in time where you can't really control them. But going back to your point, Lady Free, about spoiling, you know, the child if you spare the rod. You know, sometimes, listen, God, not even sometimes, but most times God will give you, you know, the kind of love that you need to be able to meet you. You know, if you know what I mean, you know, he will spank you, you know, but yet, what I love about God is that while he's spanking you, he's covering you from other people so that they won't even see your shame. You see, meanwhile, you going through it, but God is spanking you, but he's making you look good in front of everybody else. You got what I'm saying? And that's exactly what he does. And that's exactly what it is that we have to learn in order for us to really deal with people and buckle down on them. So for me, you know, I've learned how to deal with people on a one-on-one and say, listen, I need you to come to the office for a quick second. I want to just, you know, just spread the word of God to you, you know? And I I'm the kind of leader, sometimes I will let you have it without anybody knowing that I got into you so that you could align. And it's in perspective. You got what I'm saying? Because again, I seen a lot of Lady Free 56, 16-year-olds. And I seen a lot of 13, 74-year-olds. You got what I'm saying? People who are trying to act older than they are, and people who are older who's just as young as they could ever be. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the reason why, you know, we accept a lot of things in the churches, because most of the time it ain't really a lot of the young people, but it's the adults. You get what I'm saying? If you take a look, I used to be on a block where, and I'm gonna let you talk, I used to be on a block where everybody was your mama, you know? I remember one time I was caught, and I'm almost 50 on February, you know?
Come on.
And I was walking across the street, and I knew I wasn't supposed to, you know, going across the street. I know I wasn't supposed to be running across the street. So one of the ladies saw me and said, Donald, come here. And I mean, she whipped me out. You hear what I'm saying? Went and told my mama, and I got another whipping. You know what I'm saying? I got a whipping from her, and on the way, I got a whipping, and I got another whipping from my mama. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I knew that here's the deal. Because, see, back then, there was a specific innocence. Even when we were in church back in the days, we might have been disobedient, but it was in perspective. We had a fear of God that we're not going to go above and you know, and just disobey our mom and disobey anybody else who could have been your mom or who could have been your grandma or who could have been your uncle. Today, you get on the train and the kids in New York, they are just buck wild. You get what I'm saying? And then you got young parents who would yell at you for trying to help discipline them because they ain't got no discipline at home without any type of judgment, you know? And this is the reason why we have a different day and time. Can I also add, I'm gonna let you go, which is we have these things called devices.
Right.
And I remember the time that my friend David and I and John Aronson, we used to have a group called PCP, which is Pros Claiming Props. We didn't realize it was a drug as far as the abbreviation was, you know, we wasn't on drugs. But what I did learn was that we had the opportunity to go to Funky Slice Studios. We had a rap group. We went to Funky Slice Studios. We did our music. I just knew we were superstars because we went to the studio, Jesse, not realizing going to the studio is step one. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a superstar. Oh. But what we did have is that once we left Funky Slice Studios and we got home, we had what they call imagination. So we can think about and anticipate what's going to happen when we get there next, you know, and that part of excitement, because today you take a look at people and we talk about culture, we talk about kingdom. I have never seen a bunch of sad people in my life coming to church, you know, and we clap our hands and we dance and we shout and they leave after crying and emotionally and they leave the same way. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we have these gadgets now where we can become superstars in our home. We don't have to work for anything. We became, here we go, Lady Free, we became spoiled milk.
Come on.
Became spoiled.
Robin Holmes said maturity in reverse.
Wow.
Yes.
She said, and the village put the fear of God in us because the village feared
that's
God.
That's right.
See, and that's the difference.
Rebuke
it's like
people went wrong.
Like you on a flight and the little kid behind you is throwing a tantrum, right?
Yeah.
And start kicking the back of your seat. So you like this in the back of your seat. And then you turn around and do that little smile thing like, you know.
Right, that's
all you have to give. Because if you say anything different, if you even try to say, excuse me, can you please get your baby to stop kicking my seat? Then it's a problem. But the thing is, as the kingdom citizens, as citizens of the kingdom, as Christians, as those people who's supposed to be a little different, set apart, how would we deal? Because I was really thinking about that. I was thinking about, okay, how do I tell this lady about her child without her getting upset with me
Yeah.
And then maybe, yeah, maybe we should stop being so concerned about people getting upset with us when we know we're doing it. Mothers back in the day used to say what they had to say, and we used to get upset with them, but they knew they was helping us. They knew they were saying it in love. Maybe we need to get back to that. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
But it was a lady that got up, and she was like, well, they should have gave them Robitussin or some melatonin. So this is the thing that's going to calm them down. Liza said, she said, old school discipline. Yeah. I am used to that old school discipline.
It worked.
Because you knew better. And it's in the scripture where we are not even supposed to take these things to the court. Now, what happens is the government has given us ways now that we have to raise our kids. And you know why? Yeah. It's because we won't come together in the kingdom.
In the kingdom.
Because if we are together in the kingdom, then we won't, it would exclude the government. Because you know what we'll do? Yeah. The man will be in place, the woman will be in place, and the children will be in order.
Get back in order.
But see, the reason why the children are in order is because the parents are out of order. And then what we're doing is, we're allowing culture, and this goes back to why we deal with a lot of stuff in relationships, but it allows us to now have a relationship and we're not even married to this person. And what we do is now we bring in a child into a situation that's wrong in the beginning.
Right.
So now as a man, you don't even feel the authority enough to be the man to the situation that you've created.
Which
so the whole situation is out of order.
It's out of order all the way around.
Yeah. But the point is, now we have to really take it back to what God says. Spare the rod. You spoil the child.
And that doesn't mean them to death.
It don't meet them, but it does mean you hold them accountable.
Teach them responsibility.
Teach them to behave. Because like you said earlier, it's a learned behavior. If you don't teach them the behavior, you allow them to not be what they don't even know. Because again, I used to say that, and I see this happen a lot of times, because I get a lot of young men, they come in the shop and I talk to them all the time. They get mad with their mother's just screaming at them, and they get in there and they got a big attitude. And it's like, why do you have an attitude when all you got to do is go and just keep good grades? Why do you have an attitude? You know when you get an attitude? When you got rent to pay, when you got a car note to pay, when you got a family to take care of, when you got real responsibility. Right now, this is not even a responsibility. All you got to do is keep good grades.
But see, they got attitudes because the parents are resembling, they're showing that as an example of how to behave. So the kids are picking their behavior. That's why they have an attitude. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy?
That's right, Robin. About that.
You know what Robin said? Because she's always
saying
something
great.
She said
the culture, this new culture, is now the new accountability.
Wow.
Absolutely. This culture is now the new accountability.
Come on,
that's
Robin.
Exactly what it is. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, when you take a look at the culture, you look at the parenting and stuff like that, you know, the parents first go through certain things, you know, and then they're battling with certain things, you know, and then they want to use the kid, you know, to see who's the best parent of the two.
Make them feel,
you know,
good.
These are the things that we come up. And then now it's like, because you remind me of me, it's okay to be like that, even though your dad tried to discipline you. He ain't really trying to discipline you. He's trying to discipline me through you.
See?
Not acknowledging, yo, I am the problem. I do have a particular issue. And I don't want you to have the same issue at the same time, you know?
Right.
And like you said, you spare the rod. Going back to the basics is simply this to me, you know, and I know we don't have that much time, but going back to the basics is simply this. A bishop came and he preached to my church. He says, listen, Pastor Francis, don't do anything else except preach the word. That's all you have to do is preach the word. And preach the unadulterated word, you know? Because see, when people, like you said, Lady Free, people, when they spank kids, they do it out of hatred because they have so much hate in them. You can't give anything that you don't have.
Wow.
And so if you don't have love, you don't have it to give. If you have hatred, you have all of that to give. And that had a lot to do with environment. That had a lot to do with learned behavior. That had a lot to do with your upbringing and stuff. And stuff you could not face to thy own self, again, be true. What is your effective apology? What's your why? What's your focus? You see? Because here's the deal. We'll never, ever, Pastor Jay, be victims in your pulpit because we want to be people pleasers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You don't want to be people pleasers. No matter what, rather they come or leave, rather they stay, no matter if you left with three, start with that. That's you know, right. Because at the end of the day, there is a standard. You know, and people are walking away because I don't like the way they did this. And I don't like the way they did this. A whole lot of, like you said, mystries, a lot of just about me, a lot of flesh.
Mystries, come on.
You see what I'm saying? But at the, that's what you said, Pat J. And hey, but here's the other thing. The thing about it is that, listen, if you study the word of God and come you on. Make it applicable to your life, you know, you'll see all of the things you need to do to straighten up. You see?
Yeah. I will read a couple of these. Sure. I just want to read a couple of these comments because there is some good comments, and I want.
Okay,
so Eliza said, "No one brings Bibles to church anymore. Technology has taken over. We got Bible apps now." she said that, and then Robin said, "Yes, in that order." Wait a minute, she said. Robin said something that was really deep. She said, "We can't spare the rod. It's the rod and the staff that comforts us." Come on. Yeah. She said, when you are kingdom minded. Come on, Robin.
Come on.
And Kim said, Kim Scott, hey, Kim, she said, we could give our children a look without opening our mouths.
Come
and
on,
they
sis.
Would straighten up.
They sure would.
It was that
they
look.
Sure would.
And you knew better.
Yeah.
You would jump right. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Now you give them a look and they giving you a look back.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. Hold on. And then hold on. This is another one. Like my mother and I could just get that look and they would get act right on them. They, amen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just wanted to read it. So you get it,
Pastor. And one more thing. I want to go back to what Aunt Liza said. Aunt Liza said, it's about filling the pews and forsaking the true few. When you said going back to the basics, we have to stop acting like that we have to please everybody. It's some hard stuff in the Bible that we need to talk about that's going to offend a lot of people because everybody has decided to do what feels good to them and what their desires are, right? But then there are those faithful few, those true few people who come in to hear the word and they really love God and they want to have something to grasp from the pastor to take back to the world. But because the pastor is captive in the pulpit, and won't say what needs to be said, what thus said the Lord, they walk away empty. So we have to at some point decide, you know what? Like the young lady said, I know this goes against, you know, me making you feel good right now, but I got to tell you this because I love God, and because I love God, I love you. And love is how I'm going to give you the rod. That rod and that staff, that comfort, that thing that you might think about later and say, you know what, sis, you was right. I was pissed off at you at the time because you said this and this and that. But, you know, you was right.
But truth is not, truth is not a pillow.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What?
Truth is not a pillow. And a lot of times what we try to do is we try to make them comfortable. And we give them pillows.
Y'all doing me in.
That's good.
We give them pillows.
It's not a pillow.
The truth is not a pillow. It's not, because it's supposed to make you straight. Because guess what? Straight is the way.
Yes.
Narrow is the way.
And if I love you, baby, I want you to get on that path to the
that's
way.
That's what I'm saying. I love you so much to the point that, you know, in fact, you ain't going to be comfortable when I tell you the truth. You see what I'm saying?
No, and you're not. Can I
say it like this also? It's not only the what we do, but it's how we do it too.
Yeah, you come see? On.
Because here's the deal. I've learned, you know, I don't have to embarrass you in front of people in order to get you to straighten up.
Yes.
If I come and I call you and I tell
you,
listen,
come
just
in.
Like, bro, if your tie was crooked, I'll so discreetly fix your tie in front of people that nobody even knew.
Right.
As
your
brother, I fix
exactly.
I want you to
I'm
be
straighten
on point.
You out, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So again, I think that there's so many people who they want to be the prophet and the prophetess by just speaking opinion. And it's no prophecy, have nothing to do with the word of knowledge, have nothing to do with anything past, present, and
exactly.
or future.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Because that this is what with the culture have done to the kingdom.
Yeah.
We became, and you know, sometimes you got to tell your feelings how to act rather than for you to tell your feelings, to allow for your feelings to tell you what to believe. And a lot of times you got a lot of people who are listening to more of their feelings rather than the fear of God. They're two acronyms for fear. Either you forget everything and run or face everything and rise. You get what
come
I'm saying?
Wow, come on.
So at the end of the day, you have to know, listen, it's not about my feelings. It's about the work. And sometimes, listen, this is the biggest part of the work. Forgetting about yourself and thinking about others. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, come on.
When you love your neighbor, you love your neighbor the way that Christ loved the church, you're not going to conjure up anything in your heart. You know how you love your neighbor? whatever their fault is, you have compassion and empathy about the fact that I used to be there. And I'm not going to chastise you for doing it. I'm going to correct you because I've been there. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I can show you the way. The light is in me for you, you know?
That's right.
So
that's
I'm showing you compassion as I correct you because I'm only telling you about me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how you can love your neighbor the way Christ loved the church. He seen them like they needed fathers. They were fatherless.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes.
And he had compassion on the disciples when he got off the boat. When the disciples tried to push Jesus, tell all these people, let them go away. This is when he fed the 5,000. Let them go away. They're asking for food. He says, don't send them away hungry. Send them over because he's seen them like they needed a father, that he had compassion upon them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we have to have compassion on people enough to know how to do what so that they can get to their place. You see what I'm saying? That's what it's all about. I get compassionate about it because, again, I just love the people of God. And I think that it's not what you do. When you understand your why, you'll know how to do certain things and you'll know the what.
Yes.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I have one question for the people of God.
Yes.
And that is, what is your five-year plan in the Lord? A lot of times we have a five-year plan, you know, in our jobs, and I want to be here at a specific time. I want to be here.
Yeah.
But what is your five-year plan in God? You know, what are you looking to dismiss? What are you looking to get rid of to obtain? You know, what is your where do you want to be in 5 years in God? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you want to be at a specific level where you know he can trust you? And, you know, so listen, if homie came around, you ain't going to sleep with him. If shorty came around, you ain't sleeping with him. You know, what is your 5 year plan? You know,
that's awesome.
Man, listen, y'all. Listen, it is so important that we don't allow culture to replace our purpose.
Right.
And a lot of times that's what happened. We allow the society to dictate what God has already placed inside of us.
Right.
He's already put it there. He's already put it there from the very when you were born, when he put you together and he brung you here. He already placed the purpose inside of you.
Yeah.
So it is
Pastor
important. Yes.
I just got something. And you know what? When you come to church and you get your filling, you got to keep feeding it on Monday. You got to keep feeding it on Tuesday. You got to keep feeding it on Wednesday. You know, it doesn't stop at the church. You got to feed it every day of your life. That's what Paul says. I repent daily. There you go. I'm sorry. I mean to cut you off. I just got
you're
bro.
Good.
You know?
No, you good. It's just that. And man, we having so much fun, man. Oh, man. Thank you, man. This has been awesome. Hey, Kenya, how you doing? Yes. If you don't love yourself, you can't love others. The whole point is, it's just not allowing culture to dictate our purpose. And again, that's knowing our why. And then when you know why, then you'll know what. But we have to figure out why.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So
and
we'll
when we
know
figure
what
out our
is.
Why, our why is purpose. The kingdom before culture, period. That's right, Allie.
Right.
Allie, we see you next week, girl.
And let me say one last thing. The kingdom is about faith. Culture, if you notice, is driven by fear. Everybody's afraid to say what they have to say. Everybody's afraid to do what they need to do. And everybody is they're instilling fear on us. When God says, no, I didn't give you that spirit. Kick that one out. Give that one back. Say what it is that I told you to say. Because if you say what I told you to say, you're going to start seeing some of these things that you've been praying for come to pass. Don't be afraid.
Yes.
Fear not. Anytime God had his people to do something great, he always said, fear not. So that's going to be the word. Because do that fear thing that you put up again. Can we get that again?
Oh, yeah. Either you can forget everything and run, or you can face everything and rise.
Let's rise.
That's right.
Let's rise in the kingdom.
Listen, y'all, shift real talk, man. This was awesome today, bro. I just want to tell you, man, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, man. Tell us where they can watch you at, man. Tell the people on live, because we got a lot of people tuning in. Tell them where they can watch you at, man.
Oh, man. Well, you can catch me on YouTube at Manifested Thoughts Podcast. You can catch me on Facebook, Manifested Thoughts Podcast. Same thing. You can catch me on LinkedIn. Same thing, Manifest Those Podcasts. And also you can catch me on Instagram. Basically, you know, the majority of the social medias, but Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and what's the other one? Twitter. which is new X now. I think it's called X now, you know? You catch me there. And we air out every day, 10:30 in the morning, every single day. 10:30 in the morning, giving just value and just giving practical tips, you know, for practical people who are kingdom minded, you know?
Yeah.
And manifested we're helping people bring thoughts.
Manifested thoughts. I promise you, I speak this into existence. Manifested thoughts and shift will be coming together, and we're going to there's purpose.
It's in the works.
We started through music, God, but there's a level of growth now.
Amen.
And there's people that's in culture that need us to bring the kingdom to them.
Amen. Yes,
so we're going to come together, shift.
Out the four walls of the church.
Yes, we're going to come together, and we're going to bring the kingdom to the culture.
We're shifting manifested thoughts.
Yes. So
We are shifting manifested thoughts.
So we thank
y'all. All right, y'all. It's
Mama
our
Pearlie.
Time. We must go. We love you so much.
Man, bro.
Please donate to Shift Real Talk.
It's not just a line. It's a movement.
That's right. Listen, we want you to donate. Not only do we want you to donate, Yonla says, ask for what you need. We want you to donate. To Cash App, $Shift Movement. It's some more ministry things that we want to do. We also asking you, if you are here and this meant anything to you at all, hit the like button. Hit the like button. So donate, hit the like button. If you're on YouTube, make sure
and
you
share.
Make sure you subscribe. We don't want you to miss any of the videos that we put out, because every last one of them is going to change your life in some way. So hit that little notification bell, y'all. We are in this thing. Thank you so much.
Listen, before we go, bro, I really, man, because you have a story in marriage that we want to bring you back on, man.
We want to bring you back.
There's a story, man, that you got to tell.
Yes.
That you have to tell.
Yes.
I love you too, Allie.
Without
real.
Further ado, because we don't want to get into it.
We got to bring you back. We're going to talk about a date, man. We're going to bring you back.
Absolutely.
Your story is, oh my God, it's amazing.
Breakthroughs. That's right, Kenya. So, may the Lord.
We're going to leave the last word in your hand, brother. You're going to send us on, bro.
Yes, sir. All I wanted to tell everybody is, listen, you know, stay strong, you know, stay healthy. Treat people right. If you like them, and if they don't like you, continue to love on them. You see?
Amen.
And watch how God is going to do miraculous things in your life. Stay pure. You're not going to be perfect, but if you strive for perfection in God, there you'll find excellence. You see?
Come on.
I can't wait till we meet again. And let me just say this, Shift Real Talk is fire. Please, I want you to donate. Please, please, please smash the like button. Please, please, please leave a comment and subscribe.
Yes.
God bless you.
That's it. Until next time. Same bat channel, same place. Shift Real Talk Tuesdays.
Signing out.
Peace.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.